Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was head or tail.
Lemon face. Ooh, all right.
He does a much better job about selling drinking semen
than me.
Than you, obviously.
Oh, than ass cancer.
Yes.
Definitely. He convinced me that it would be beneficial, like drinking milk, to drink semen, much more so than convincing me that if you engage in sodomy that you're going to get butthole cancer.
And he wants you to get butthole cancer on top of that.
He wants you to get butthole cancer.
And so you can't sit.
However, it is a weird thing that milk comes from the mammary glands. And
of the ass.
And semen is basically milk.
It's ass milk from the dick.
It comes from the testicles. It's basically the same thing as milk.
That's what
Piss
he said.
Is stored in the balls.
Welcome to the Who Goes There Podcast, episode 379. This is Jorge.
Fuck the fuchsia. It's Friday. This is Maddie Ding Dong.
You used fuck the fuchsia.
I did use fuck the fuchsia.
That was a dope ass line. This is Ree. Yeah.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, buddy. Dr. George.
Hi.
Hey, how you been?
How you been?
How you been? How you been? How you been?
You know what they say
about the young. You know what they say about the robots.
You know what we say about the chopping mall. You would if you were on patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast because we just recorded an episode on 1986's chopping mall.
Not enough that chopping was, and...
Just don't say anything.
There's an adequate amount of mall.
And then an adequate amount of mall is what I would say before, you know, unless...
And the mall was better than the chopping.
Yes. Very 80s mall. Very vibe. Very mall vibe.
And there's more to it. We really peel back the layers of chopping mall.
We go into how that mall needed a Hot Topic. And, you know, the scene is healing itself. Panic at the Disco finally broke up. And Fall Out Boy and Paramore have new albums.
You don't want to talk about shit on the show, but you're going to talk about this shit.
We're all coming back to the mall culture. The mall is rebuilding itself.
Speaking of coming back and speaking of Patreon... The homie Jacob, who has been a long-time listener and a long-time supporter of the show, is back.
Always coming. Welcome back to Patreon.
Welcome.
It's good to see you come again.
Yeah.
And he's back posting outlandish shit in Discord.
Good. We made him his own channel, and nobody has used that channel since he's been gone. And now that channel is going to be popping again.
He still does his art, too.
He does.
Yeah,
he hasn't sent me that goddamn... Xenomorph Queen yet.
He was supposed to do a Nerve Agents painting for me a couple years ago.
Well, anywho.
I guess we'll have to boot him off Patreon.
Oh, Jesus.
Also, what was the movie, Rhett? If you join our Patreon and we catch wind of you watching or enjoying that 90s show, we will ban you.
Yeah, you're
period.
Booted.
That's it.
And if you're listening to, in fact, you know what? You guys want to be a hardliner about it?
Yeah.
If you're listening to the show and you're not Patreon, and you even considered watching that 90s show.
Think about that 90s show.
If you even thought about hanging out down the street.
Turn this off. Don't listen anymore because that's trash. You're trash.
Yeah, stop it. Get some help.
You know what else, too? I was waiting for someone to be like, well, it's fucking, people love it. And then, like, you know, I already went and I'm ready. I looked at the IMDb. I looked at the fan reviews.
He goes.
They got shitty ass reviews.
He goes to the internet like a fucking soldier goes to dress up for war. He's
exactly.
Like, Rotten Tomatoes.
Yep.
Fucking Metacritic.
Yeah. IMDb because that's user scores.
IMDb.
Netflix fucking a feedback score. Guess what? The people who wanted this to be good and watched it, it's gotten lukewarm response at best. Clearly not a beloved piece. And here's the thing. A lot of things get like that, right?
It's like that Scooby-Doo show that just came out.
Yeah, I was going to mention that.
That 90s show is supposed to be like some fucking, like, obviously mainstream, very popular thing. Apparently, if it's a middling fucking, like, normie show, that's like the worst of all possible worlds right there. It's a middling, normie show.
Yeah.
And also,
we don't need it.
Red would be... A crypt keeper at this point.
And also, That 70s show sucked.
It had its moments, I
see. This is where you guys
don't
like
point
you,
at, don't point at you me, guys, motherfucker.
Hey, I said I think. You guys like, I didn't like watch the show.
And that 70s
don't
show.
Don't point at me. I hate
this
that.
This is where
that.
It lines up.
I hate that fucking show.
It all
show.
Lines up. You talking you, about
you
Fall
know
Out
they
Boy.
Made a you know they made a that 80s show.
Yeah,
right?
And it was shit.
It was. They had that one really cute punk girl on there though. I forgot her name.
Oh, therefore.
No, I mean wild. Therefore I watched it because I watched,
watched
the cute punk. It doesn't mean I liked it. I hate watched
so
it.
So you by your own rubric need
it was
to ban
very,
yourself.
It was very hard
look,
to
by
climax
your own
while watching
Rubik's
that.
Cube, yes. You fucked yourself.
No.
You
fucked yourself.
I did fuck myself because of the cute punk girl.
In all seriousness though, if you want to watch that show, that's okay. I
just don't listen to our show.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Did you watch any on-brand horror stuff, anybody?
We finished up The Rig. Do not watch it.
We watched The Last of Us, but we're not going to
talk about
that. But
we're not going to talk about it until it's all wrapped up.
Full episode on the whole season one.
The whole kit and caboodle.
We finished Kaleidoscope, which was trash.
Damn, you watched some trash.
Oh, I don't know a lot, but I know that's a good show, dude.
Only people that get broken
probably
up
why
with,
your ass got
only
dumped.
People that get broken up with like that show a
sorry,
lot.
Sorry, Blanco you know Nino, but your ass got sacked.
That 90s show, dude. That 90s show on Kaleidoscope. Best
out.
Shows right now.
Get
dude.
Out. Get out. Get out.
What about you, little homie? You watch anything?
No. I mean, I watched wrestling, but you guys don't want to hear about that. But goddamn, it's been so good.
If it's
good.
On brand, I don't give a shit.
It's been so good. I mean, there was the passing of the Spooky Boy torch the other day. The Undertaker kind of passed the torch on to Bray Wyatt, but that was just a minor thing. But goddamn, I came so hard when that happened. I was like, oh, this is what I want. Oh, everything I needed. Oh.
What do they call it when you come and cry at the same time?
In Craig?
Craig?
Call it Tuesday.
That homie Craig?
That motherfucker Craig.
That homie
when
Craig.
When you come, that motherfucker Craig.
That motherfucker Craig. Oh boy. I mean, like, I just watched wrestling, man, and getting ready for my trip for Japan. I leave in 2 weeks.
You better look Japan.
Oh, I just bought tickets to Deathmatch Wrestling in Japan. I get to see Jun Kasai live.
You did not do very well on the one task I had for you when you were
bro,
in Japan.
Bro, you have no idea how many people I made super uncomfortable by showing them fucking pictures and being like, I need twisted things like
make
this.
Make them more uncomfortable. I need something gross back from Japan.
I will
you
see.
Brought me manga, and I was like stoked on that.
I brought you that cool Aliens watch.
Yes, you did, and you brought me manga, which was I'm
did
into.
I? What was it, Junji Ito? You just got my titties. You didn't even get
it. It was
face.
Junji Ito. Yeah. But I want something gross. I want something gross from Japan.
Speaking of Junji Ito, he's got a new show on Netflix.
And okay. Speaking of which, did you watch any of it?
I haven't. I just got a notification about the show like today.
Well, you remember when you were mentioned I go on the internet like I'm suiting up? Sure did. But also, before I did that, I watched an episode. I watched an episode and I was mildly intrigued, and then it was fun, and then I was like, what the fuck happened here?
What
and
the then, fuck?
In a good way or a bad way?
A bad way. Dude.
I wonder if it's the same one that was on Crunchyroll, because there was a Junji Ito show that was on Crunchyroll a year or two ago, and it got horrible reviews.
Well, and that's the thing. I'm not just talking about... I watched the thing, you know? I watched an episode. It ends very abruptly.
And like it was half the book?
Anticlimactic. Well, no, because it's an anthology series. So each episode is a self-contained thing. But you get some of Junji Ito's design stuff, but thus far in this adaptation, because I was reading too, like you said, it's not even the first Junji Ito adaptation.
Yeah.
But the art style is fine and all that, and it had like an okay premise about the opening episode is about a family who the patriarch of the family dies, and there's these machinations with the family and who's gonna take over and all this shit, and then they have a séance. Etc. Etc. But yeah, it ends really goofy, and I understand in Japan things are different, so the editing is different and the flow is different. But if you watch an episode, dude, like it was enough for me to be like, "Oh, I'm not watching any more of that." Huh?
I might
well,
check it out.
Things are different in Japan. That is true.
Yeah, but
they do be that way.
They're different in good Japanese adaptations too. Like they're different in Ninja Scroll, for example.
Yeah!
We're supposed to be watching that coming up,
yeah,
huh?
So we want to do Japanese month when you return from Japan.
Yeah!
Okay, so I think...
Maybe a little Tetsuo the Iron Man. Mm. Maybe a little Akira.
And maybe... Here's the thing, and I know it's ambitious. Ooh,
Akira. Akira's dope.
Yeah. Akira. What about... And there's one called Pulse that I want to watch.
I've heard a lot about Pulse, and I don't think I've ever seen it.
It's fucking... I won't say anything.
It's supposed to be very good.
It is. And then I've never seen, like, as far as anime horror type stuff, too, there's Demon City.
Demon City. Then there's... Is it Demon City Shinjuku, or is it just Demon City?
Of course.
Either way. But there's a bunch of dope stuff.
We did a Patreon that someone suggested to us a couple years ago, A Belladonna of Sadness, which is an anime film.
Did we do that one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. That was dope. It had a lot of DDD, VVV.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one. And we did an episode on Perfect Blue, which is fucking great.
Satoshi Kon is fucking dope.
Paprika Super great.
Is a great one.
So we'll have some Japanese movies coming up soon. Hopefully I can find
any suggestions.
Super weird.
We'll take them.
We did a episode of Audition. We did Audition already. We did Ichi the Killer.
Yeah, we did.
Me and Jorge.
Story, dude.
An artful, boring film.
You missed the boat on that one.
We sure did.
Yeah, we clearly did.
Yeah.
Cool.
I don't know what's wrong with you guys? But
well. You know what they say. You know what they say about the youth, man. So I did watch the first episode of that Junji Ito thing. I watched... There's a movie called Sick on Peacock. So Peacock is truly...
Sick cock.
It's sick. It's clearly trying to move into its horror thing, right? You know, like before it comes out with its A24 Friday the 13th prequel series. I don't know. Anyway... So this is an interesting pedigree here, because remember Alone from 2020, that dope-ass one, Matt, where the chick's like on the road and it's like a survival thing?
Yes, yes.
That director does this.
That was 2020? Fuck, it feels like so long
ago. I don't think Jorge ever watched it, but it was fucking cool. Like, we both liked it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was waiting for his follow-up. This is his follow-up, and it's a COVID slasher. It's a slasher movie set during the quarantine thing, right? And it's written by Kevin Williamson, who wrote Scream and Dawson's Creek. In the 90s. So it's like this should be good, maybe. But I watched it, and then it has some initial okay ideas. And then for me, it's like the freshness of Kevin Williamson. It was fresh in like 1996. You know what I mean? So I didn't like it.
Okay.
It got pretty fucking stupid, as a matter of fact. But... That guy is a director, like he's real efficient with his storytelling. He came from action films, and so he uses that for suspense, but I wish the movie was better. I just didn't like the sequence of events once they kicked in were super contrived, and then like the dialogue, it sounds like Kevin Williamson in 1996, but it's 2023. It's 2020 during the pandemic, and that doesn't really... That feels really fucking old.
Yeah, a like quarter century 2020, later. Like that movie feels like it came out in like 2017.
What movie?
Alone.
Oh, that came out in 2020. This one's set during 2020.
We've all aged 20 years in the last 3 years.
And then it was, Possession. I finally started watching. I want to finish it with Sophia.
Were we supposed to do an episode on that?
I'd love to, but I mean, dude.
It's still in the drive.
Right out of the fucking, well, it's on Shudder now.
Oh.
That's why I started it finally. And dude, that movie's fucking amazing.
Is it? You should watch Beloved.
Like, I.
Begotten.
Yeah, that's Le Art. This is a good fucking movie, dude. It's psychological horror, but it's got like some fucked up body horror stuff. And then it's got like, as the title implies, the suggestion that she's possessed. And it's about infidelity. And Sam Neill's in it. Super young Sam Neill getting cuckolded.
Oh, yeah.
We need to see that.
Hell yeah.
Highly recommend on Shudder. A few of our Patreon listeners had talked about it before. They've already seen it. So pretty late on that one. But, the other thing, it was my birthday, so.
It was.
I was either going to watch RoboCop, Schindler's List, or There Will Be Blood. Just lighthearted stuff.
Just real.
A real lean night.
And I went with the lean night. I went with There Will Be Blood.
Good.
You drank
lean, dude?
Dear Lord.
It's good.
It is a great, great movie.
It's quite. It doesn't feel like 2.5 hours, that's for sure.
No, it doesn't. And that was Sophia's second watching, and I love it. That makes me love it. And then I felt kind of weird at work the next day because it stuck with me so heavily that I was like, be nice, you know? You want to be nice. Be nice to people.
Did you get a milkshake?
I wanted, that's what I mean. I wanted to tell people that I drink their milkshake, and I couldn't. I felt disingenuous. I wanted to scream at people. Yes, disingenuous. Egregious.
That's an egregious. It's an egregious use of pronunciation.
Yeah.
And this weekend, Infinity Pool comes out.
About
which? Yeah, more Marvel movies.
What the fuck? What? Not Infinity War, which was dope.
Oh.
But yeah.
Claw.
That's it.
I've been playing a little bit more of 20 Minutes Till Midnight. I talked about it previously, but they had a bunch of DLC and extra characters released. Still super fun. Highly recommended. 20 Minutes Till Midnight.
Dope. Mm-hmm. I've been playing Vampire Survivors a little bit.
Yeah, buddy.
Lots of unlocks.
Yeah.
And I played a little bit more Isaac recently. And then I've been playing more Call of Duty. I think I might get into Rust.
Did you play any of the most recent Foo Fighters album, Medicine at Midnight?
Medicine at Midnight?
Is that?
That's what it's called.
Is that a thing?
And they called it that. That was before the guy
died.
Is that
the medicine that killed Taylor Hawkins?
Oh,
it's
dude.
His midnight medicine.
Yeah. You ever go night night, Taylor?
Brother.
Pretty good. I like how that worked out.
Yeah, you know who else went night night, dude? Two women named Sarah Connor.
Is it time?
It's time! The Who Goes Your Podcast watched a little film called The Terminator from 1984. Directed by James Cameron, so written by James Cameron. Like, you're already...
Who is he?
Some upstart director, yeah. I don't know.
Who does he think he is?
Who does he think he is? Starring, Jesus Christ.
A bunch of people you've never heard of.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, Linda Hamilton, Michael Biehn. Biehn?
Kyle Reese!
How do you say his last name?
Michael Biehn.
Biehn?
I'm not doing the Biehn thing.
Paul
is Johnny Ringo.
Paul Winfield, Corporal Lance Hicks. Henriksen, Rick Rossovich, and a bunch of other people who Earl Bowen, he's pretty cute.
Earl Bowen.
And Bill Paxton. Bill motherfucking Paxton as a
motherfucking Paxton.
Nice night for a walk.
And also Brian Thompson as a punk.
Yep.
Brian Aspen?
No, yeah, we don't speak of him.
I wish he'd get someone's fist shoved through his fucking
sternum. I wish he got a laser to the face that destroyed his whole cranium. That's what I wish.
Chopping Mall. Brian Aspen could have been in Chopping Mall.
He probably wrote Chopping Mall, to be honest with you.
It's like Night of the Living Elves, Chopping Mall.
I think it's going to be no surprise that the table unanimously... Don't fuck me on this. Unanimously loves the Terminator. Don't fuck me on this.
What?
He's going to do it, isn't he?
No, what he said he liked... He did a recent rewatch within the last year and he really liked it.
I did a rewatch today.
Okay.
I know, but before that, I'm referring to a previous episode.
Yeah, whenever that... I don't know, I forgot.
So what do you think of Terminator, was. Dude?
Yeah, dude, it's the fucking perfect movie. I mean, like... Oh! It's almost 40 years old. And really, the only thing that you can say is like...
Restaurant scene, Tiki Hotel.
The worst part... Okay, God, I hate the sex scene. I really hate the sex scene.
I don't
scene.
Hate it.
I can't stand it.
I just don't
it.
Like the music but like, in Tiki
the,
Hotel.
The only things that you can really nitpick, it's like, oh, when she drives off into the sunset at the end, like that CGI sky looks awful.
It looks dope, though. It looks 84.
But see, that's the thing. It's like even
that's
the,
not CGI.
Even the, stuff that, CGI. Even the stuff that like looks bad, it's like, yeah, well, this was made 40 years ago.
And it looks cool.
So when they're like, you tell me there's no CGI, or there's a green screen or something, because there's a part where like the Terminator...
Back then they had blue screen.
It
wouldn't have been blue screen or green screen.
CGI
it would have
been, is computer generated.
Well, so there's the part
this
where
isn't Tron.
There's the
it
part
would have
where
been
like
mats.
Well, so there, yeah, there's the part where the skeleton's like walking towards them and they close the door and it's very obviously like
mats or rotoscoping.
That's
or
a blue screen.
Okay,
some
so
other, some
so,
other
so I'm thinking
of
something
like
but even those where it looks a little bit hokey, it's like, yeah, well, it's 40 years ago. So or for 40 years ago,
there's probably
it looks hokey and it moves so fucking like, efficiently.
Like the Arnold's fucked up makeup, like, sure, it looks a little hokey, but it also looks like a fucking, like, fake skin on a robot that's coming undone.
And it has personality.
Yeah. And then the fact that Arnold's like acting is so robotic. Well, guess what? He's a fucking robot. It's perfect. Like all of it is perfect. The music is great. The chase scenes feel like actually like they have weight to them. And there's like, there's high stakes
or
something.
It's the most slasher ass sci-fi film basically of all time.
And that's the thing. There was a scene, and I can't remember exactly which scene it was, but where I was, as I was watching it, I was like, man, this movie is so different than Terminator 2, because Terminator 2 really leans into like the action and like the booky science.
It's like Resident Evil 4 as opposed to Resident Evil.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So this one is like, it feels much darker. It feels much like more horror-y.
It's gritty as fuck, and too.
All of it, dude. The chase music sounds like video game music.
Except for Tiki Hotel.
It's brutal, like, and violent. And, like, plus...
It's literally the theme of the movie without the percussion.
Plus, one of the first things that you get to see...
That's what the Tiki Hotel music is.
Arnold's fucking immaculate physique.
He is...
Like, that fucking waist, Jesus Christ.
Wait a minute. You think he has a good physique?
A little bit. I think he works out. I'm not sure, but
he
I
must
think
work
so.
Out. He was dumb and dumber.
He definitely takes a lot of juice. But
he was still in the middle of like the Mr. Universe shit. At this, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
He took some juice like people did to compete in those things, but you can also tell. Obviously, he put in the fucking work, but he didn't take as much to look just freakish. Like he knew when to fucking stop.
Oh yeah, he put in the work.
He knew when to get perfect proportions, and then he's like, "Okay, I'm good." Whereas some people are like, "No, I need my biceps to look like fucking balloons. Like I need to be disproportionate because they got like body."
But see, the amount of work I was watching a thing about him lifting the other. The funny thing is, I've probably seen more interviews of Arnold lifting than I have like spent time watching his movies. But he was just talking about just his chest routine the other day, and he would do two a day. So he would go in the morning and the night. But his chest routine, he's like, you do this and this for the upper chest, and then this for the regular, and this for the lower, and then you got to do the flies. And he's talking about like 10 different exercises. And I'm like, holy fuck, man. Like, he was super dedicated, but like, then you look like that.
He was like an Olympic fucking, Olympian.
Yeah.
And he still is to this day. That dude really hasn't stopped.
He's still in great shape.
So, about Terminator...
Enough gushing
about Arnold.
Enough of you gushing. Time for Rhett to gush.
It's time for me to gush about JC, the one true lord.
The only
Jean-Claude Van Damme?
No, that's JCVD.
Hey, he's still a JC dude.
No, look, for me, in the 80s, there are four films in the sci-fi action horror hybrid type stuff that are gospel. And it's Terminator, Predator, RoboCop, and Aliens. And Alien, I grew up watching those, and those were the holy fucking grail growing up. Like, yes, I loved the Star Wars trilogy, and there was other movies, and this and that, but this was it. And Terminator is one of the earliest of the bunch. It's 84. And, like, I was trying to watch this on a rewatch last night, because you guys hadn't done it on the show.
Nope.
And fucking, I've watched Terminator all my life at this point. And it's hard to watch a movie like this with fresh eyes, but I was trying to do that and talk about it with Sophia as we watched it. So pretend we're watching this. When this movie starts, we go into it knowing like Sarah Connor, Kyle Reese,
that it's all true.
Right. And so when we're watching, I was trying to imagine watching this in a theater when it came out. Number one, this is a new director and a new writer. So to have this as you're like, hey, here I am. That's fucked. Like, this guy showed up fucking hard, right? So, anyway, James Cameron. So, anyway, though, so Kyle Reese comes.
He dropped that like you do, like a fucking, like a mic drop. Like, James Cameron. Yeah.
James motherfucking, no, okay. You might have heard of him, dude. No, but he's the king of the world, dude. No, but I don't have a clue watching it if Kyle Reese is a psycho or Arnold's a psycho or they're both psychos. And I'm not even sure, except if it showed it in the trailers and stuff, that Arnold's a robot. There's nothing to indicate that on the front end until it's like, okay, the guy's superhuman. He starts getting hit by a car. And until it gets to that fucking noir place, tech noir, that club, which is dope having him with the fucking gun in the trench coat.
Hell
and
it has that in the
background, which is like, that's great. Then things start to become a little clearer, and then you get this spiel from Kyle Reese, and it's like, is this guy fucking ridiculous? But I'm watching this, though, and again, it goes to, like, production design. Like, the fucking scenes they show from the future with, like, the soldiers and all that shit. Like, yeah, it's aged and it's dated, but it's 84, and anyone want to guess what the budget of this movie is? 1984?
Let's see. If Chopping Mall was 800,000.
I feel like I should know this. It's gotta be like 6 million. Yeah, that's what I figured.
This motherfucker doing this with $6 million. And that's the thing. He's really the writer and director is really relying on editing here. Like you mentioned the chase scenes. That shit is kinetic still and dynamic.
Oh,
I'm
watching
it. I'm like, how is a fucking chase scene from 1984 feel more like high stakes and kinetic than most of this shit today? And it's the fucking editing. Like,
well, it's the desperation in direction, right? Because like there are directors that have limitations and use that as a growth medium.
Exactly.
As opposed to feeling limited.
Right.
And you've got this like, okay, well I've only got $6 million.
Right.
But he's got...
It's an ambitious fucking movie.
He's got Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's got Linda Hamilton, who is... This is her first film, correct?
As far as I know.
Early.
Either way, put her on the map as
you know,
far as...
He's got all these essentially unknown factors going on in this film. Like, is this going to do what he hopes it's going to do?
Right.
And he's got that really, really desperate and really not, I don't, I desperate isn't the right word, like fervent, like energy going on,
that
like
sense of urgency.
You feel the
desperation,
the need to be like maximalism with very small amount of dough with what he's doing.
Right.
It's crazy.
Right. They're very tight. And that's the thing, speaking of which, the screenplay, there's not any scene in this movie. I mean, arguably, I guess you could go to the tiki thing later, but there's not any scene that doesn't need to be there to move the story along. Like, it's one of the most economic screenplays in that sense. If you look at it structurally, it's like, why is this scene here? This establishes this. Why is this scene here? This establishes this. Why is she calling her mom? Oh, because that's not her. She's not talking to her fucking mom.
Yeah.
Which was, I mean, all that kind of stuff, too. I'm trying to imagine seeing this. This is 1984, so, like, The Road Warrior came out, like, 2 or 3 years before this. There wasn't anything, like, really cyberpunky to compare this to, like, with this tone, with this level of violence, and with the level of urgency, like you're saying. And then when Kyle Reese, like, fucking gives the little speech, like, it doesn't feel pity or remorse, you can't be reasoned with, and it won't stop till you're dead. Like, it's great fucking straight-up simple dialogue, and he delivers it like he's literally going through psychosis.
So, talking about that speech, you'd mentioned earlier about how it's, like, kind of hard to watch this movie through fresh eyes, and I you know, my fucking goldfish brain, like watching a movie, no matter how many times I've seen it, is kind of like the first time. But I'd mentioned to Alia.
Your goldfish brain?
Yeah.
Memory of a young squirrel.
Yeah. So I'd mentioned to Alia today how this movie, like, this was one of the movies my dad watched all the time when I was growing up. So, like, I could turn the sound off of this movie and probably quote the entire movie. Or I could just close my eyes while it's playing and picture the entire thing as it's playing. Like, I know this movie inside and out, and I was trying to watch it through fresh eyes today. And so when Reese is giving her that whole speech, like, maybe even before that, kind of when he's telling her everything in the car where he's like, I'm from the future, I'm like, in 1984, I would have been like, fuck no. You're crazy. Let me the fuck out of here.
Absolutely.
In 2023, though.
There weren't like
a
bunch of mind fucking movies like that either. Yeah. There's that aspect.
But in 2023, I'd be like, yeah, I'd buy that.
Even in this film that gives you that sort of like sci-fi preamble where you're, you know, you've already kind of been fed a little bit of this like futuristic, apocalypse. You can still feel yourself halfway through this movie being like, Kyle Reese, you're fucking crazy, brother. Well, and you're just dragging her along with you.
And you mentioned like the second film on that note too, like earlier, Matt. The second film, you see in this too on rewatch how it has echoes of the first one in it. Like Kyle Reese's fucking freak out at the police station. Like that they're not listening to him and the sense of urgency here. Sarah Connor does the same thing in the mental ward at the end. She has that fucking surveillance video scene. And then there's another one in Aliens when Ripley is fucking telling the fucking board, like, you need to fucking, that's not it, goddammit. Like, you need to listen. And what I think what Cameron's doing here is he's showing trauma. Like, these people, regardless of it being a fictional movie and a fictional account, he knows to invest these characters in a sci-fi fucking action elevated reality with a real sense of fucking trauma. And he gets to kind of like, you know, this is 1984. The 80s are post-Vietnam. And so you get movies, you get a whole decade of movies where people are trying to process fucking the first massively televised fucking war.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you get movie after movie after movie of,
and arguably a failure for our nation.
Exactly. So the morale was fucking destroyed. Yeah. You know, and then anyway, you guys get where I'm going with this, but yeah, you can see that he's a trauma.
Well, it also victim. You know, and along with trauma, it also explores, I think, you know, a lot of being isolated from people that you supposedly, you know, consider friends and family and whatnot.
Like, because when I did bath salts, that was me. I'm Kyle Reese.
Wow.
Never mind. That was a long time ago.
Jeez.
I was trying to tell you I was from, dude, I was tapped in, man.
Tapped into the Matrix, dude. The
Matrix, dude. You guys don't know shit.
You know, I will say this. I think that I like Terminator 2 more than this film. So watching this movie, it makes me feel more like angsty to watch Terminator 2. Not angsty, but I'm more like, oh, let me get this shit done so I can watch Terminator 2, the one that I really, really like.
Yeah.
But dude, like, you cannot understand. Well, I'm sure you can understand, but you don't put the pieces together until, like, you're watching this one. You're like, oh shit, the fucking arm, and oh shit, all of it.
It's
like,
so fucking ingenious. It's the two movies together.
It's like Alien and Aliens, dude. They're like, you can't watch one without having watched the other, and they're both brilliant.
Well, and then
also the first, it's like, one is, oh, better.
There's the fucking psychologist, you know? There's that fuck. Like, I know I've seen this movie multiple times, but I was watching, I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot he's at the fucking cop station.
He is an asshole.
He's a fucking asshole. Is that
Lance Hendrickson?
This, you know who that is, dude? Bald guy. You know who that is? That's you, dude.
Is that me?
No, I'm just kidding. No, but it calls to mind that there's people who don't, you know, you don't believe conspiracy theories, right? And these people sound
those
like...
Those are the real crazy
people. These people sound like fucking wild conspiracy theory schizophrenics.
Yep.
Right? Because if that's not happening, it's, you know, then that's what they are.
Well, yeah, but, like, people from the future that are fighting robots and...
But there's a point at which the consensus, like, skepticism becomes just stupidity. And that's that psychologist to me, because you've been in general proximity to these events and you've seen surveillance footage and you saw this guy. And then in the second one, and I'm not saying he should believe there's Terminators because he's seen nothing to believe that.
But there's something.
That. Yeah, but he's not. He doesn't allow for any kind of open-mindedness that there may be some abnormality going on other than they're crazy, which is not some fucking, like, particularly scientific diagnosis. You know, like, they have psychosis. Like, okay, all that jargon and they're just labels we came up with. That doesn't really explain anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's much more fucking, he's eager to give someone a label so he can talk about how crazy they are.
The only issue I have with this one. What the fuck? Now, this is just me examining this after like 40 years of watching this movie. But what the fuck is that factory at the end, man? Like, what are they making there? And I'm like, why do they have this giant fucking press? It's the only thing that I'm watching.
You know what they put in there?
Trash.
Yeah,
they've got all the little arms.
It's the only thing that I'm like, hey man, like, what's this for? Like, if this is a factory, what the fuck are they making at this fucking joint? I can't
believe you Jorge this part.
No, I'm sorry. There was
one or two other parts that I had a similar thought.
It's the only thing that I'm like, they making fucking cars there or something? What are they? What the fuck are they doing?
I don't know, but they have presses, right?
I'm sure. Yes.
I mean, they didn't invent the press for this movie.
No, no. And it's a very, very clearly a factory because they have like these fucking like very like high level fucking pistons and these smashing things. But I'm like, I'm thinking, I'm trying to like outthink it, and I go, what are you making in this place? What are you fucking doing?
Yeah, that's a. I don't know. I can't answer that.
It's whatever, man. It doesn't matter. But it's literally the only thing that I'm like, I don't fucking.
Is Reese a cuck?
Stop.
What?
No, is he?
No. What?
I feel like there's some weird stuff going on here where it's what? Like he's like working for his own son, but he's like younger than his son.
What you're pointing out here. But then
his son sends him back to fuck his mom. Like,
here's what you're pointing out here is a paradox, if you ask me, because. I was trying to explain this to Sophia. You know, I asked her, I said, well, who was the dad the first time? And she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, this is John Connor sending him back. So John Connor has to exist the first time to be able to send this guy back.
Right.
And Reese says the future isn't set. Like,
exactly. Well, not only that, but he's also talking about like multiverse at that point where he's talking about like this
could, what possible future.
What, yeah. Which one of the millions of them or right. The infinity of them.
And so that means though, in order to get to that first time, he had a different father. Unless she met Reese somehow, also in some alternate way, before he was a soldier and he ended up being her father. Well,
I'm convinced that Reese was misinformed about the future not being set.
But Reese would be like a little kid.
Because then, like, you know, by all the other movies that we've seen with time travel logic, it's like you go back in time and, like, anything that you touch can greatly change the future. You know, the whole butterfly effect thing. So, like, every single thing that goes on, if Sarah decided to just, like, give fucking Reese the sneaky pinky, like that could have just changed everything. There could be no war because maybe Reese is going to be like, you know what? Like maybe I just want to be pegged. Maybe I'm not going to put a baby in you. And John's never born. There's never any fucking resistance. So that's the thing. It's like, it feels like the future is set because in order for all of these things to line up, Reese has to go back and all of the things that he does have to have already been predetermined and have already happened to get him to the point that he's at in the future.
Some of that, yeah. See, on the other points you bring up, though, I thought a lot about part two with this, and I thought a lot about James Cameron makes very accessible movies, but he has some actually very heady stuff in there, but he doesn't want to present it in a way that's obscure. He's like, let me make this as accessible as possible. However, there's a lot of shit in there, including in this like new Avatar movie. If you, it's like no, there's not. Yeah, there is.
There's Terminator stuff in Avatar.
Well, there is actually because it's about fucking, it's about the fucking consequences of introducing machines into organic matter. What happens when you do that, right? So anyway, I'm not gonna talk about Avatar anymore. But when you introduce that, it's gonna create a certain fucking line of thought and a certain sequence of events that are going to naturally. Generally end in fucking annihilation, dude. And that's that. There's that.
That's a good movie, dude.
There's that fucking. There's that kind of. I mean, again, there's a movie coming out later this year called Oppenheimer, dude, about this very thing. And it's like, how is that about the same thing? It is. It's about like you. Once you create this stuff, once you push the on button here, it may not be the exact same future, but it's gonna be very fucking hard to evade certain.
You
things.
Can't put the toothpaste back in the tube,
it's
brother.
An odd future.
Well, dude, I mean, bro.
Bro.
AI, bro.
Yeah, and Skynet's already self-aware, dude. We're already fucked.
Oh, speaking of that, all the little innovations, there's so much shit that's jocked from this movie. Like, for instance, him, you know, there was movies like Westworld in the 70s, but the little framing device he has.
It felt like a lot of shit in Chopping Mall was taken from this movie.
Well, yeah, shitload stuff. But also, when he looks at, he gets in a truck and it gives him a schematic of the fucking gear shifting system.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, James Cameron is like living in the future. There's no internet yet. There's no Google. This machine has access to schematics of a fucking thing because he's a machine. So he's really like anticipating a lot of stuff there.
Yeah.
You know, even very simple ideas, but that's like fucking, that's him going overboard. He doesn't have to give that much attention to a simple scene like that. If Arnold got in there and started driving the truck, I'm cool. He's like, no, we need to show that he has a schematic of the fucking gears. Yeah. That's dope.
Alia made a comment years ago that always kind of stuck with me. She's like, if you see something in a sci-fi movie, like some kind of tech in a sci-fi movie, chances are a military is already working on it or scientists are already working on it. And I'm like, that's fucking silly. But like all the stuff that you've seen in movies from like 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, we have all of that shit that's like talking to your watch. Like we can do that now. Watching fucking TV like on something this big that's on the go, we can do that now. When fucking
cell phones and Star Trek,
when Terminator came out, like we never would have thought there would have been animatronic fucking walking cyborgs. And now look at all this shit that Boston Dynamics is doing with all these like weird dog robots
that's
with
just
guns
the shit
that can
they've shown us.
Yeah,
well,
the ones,
again, that's
it's
the
fucking
stuff that's
gunned dogs that can open doors,
well,
dude.
Look, like you're saying too. So there's ways to say it where it's not outlandish or shouldn't be. If that's the stuff that's in public consumption or available to the public, right?
Yeah, imagine the shit we don't know about.
No, because and what I'm saying is they do have, of course it would be in any government's interests to throw shitloads of money at research and development like they do because they're worried about weaponizing everything. So of course they fucking have stuff that we have no clue about they have. And that's not conspiratorial. It's just fucking stupid to think otherwise.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it's conspiratorial. I'm just like,
no, but
damn,
some
that's
people
a good,
would.
Yeah, I'm
like
that's
oh,
a good
that's,
point.
That's goofy. They always have.
So now it's like I see movies and I'm like, oh, fuck, I wonder how long until that's like common knowledge or until that's like a thing.
But yeah, anyway, there is like all of that heady stuff in there. And then like in Terminator 2, it develops that, you know, there's no fate but what we make for ourselves and that whole thing, and Sarah Connor's whole, like, all you can create is death, and blah, 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 and being all freaked out with Dyson, that scene in part two. But I want to go back to something right at the beginning, because you could almost go scene for scene with this fucking movie.
Oh, yeah.
How good is just the introduction of Arnold? Like, the punk
even,
rockers.
Even Reese, like, well, the yeah, see that? Arnold, man, Arnold gets the best introduction in both of these movies. Like, this one, he gets the fucking punk rocks. And like the fucking second one, he gets the shit kickers, and you got guitars, Cadillacs playing as he walks up to that bar and he puts the cigar out in the guy's chest. That's fucking badass, dude. And then the fucking, just the lines on this one where he's like, laundry day tomorrow, nothing clean.
Yeah.
Like all of that. It's all so quotable.
The nice night for a walk, babe.
Yep.
And then
your clothes, give them to me.
The first fucking real violence we see is he fucking shoves his arm all the way through this fucking guy with no weapon. And then it shows the arm just like up the entire forearm covered in fucking blood.
Yep.
And it looks dope.
Well, and right away we get a distinction between like the two main, I mean, I know Sarah Connor's a main character, but between the two main characters, we see Reese get what he wants without the violence. You know, he takes the clothes from that old man, and the old man's still alive. He's still, like, coherent, I mean, to an extent. But, like, Reese just takes his clothes. Arnold punches through a motherfucker, and it's like, oh, okay, that's our good guy. This is our bad guy. And just from the beginning, like, so there was a little bit
good
where
call. We see how vulnerable one is and how just fucking ridiculously overpowered the
well,
other.
And just that's one of the things I appreciate about this movie is just the little subtle things that indicate like character development. Like when Sarah Connor, she has that fucking iguana. And it's like in one scene and it's kind of fucking pointless. But as I'm watching it today, I'm like, why does she have that iguana?
The reptile,
like,
dude. The reptile
well,
brain.
Well, see, but I'm like, what is the point of the iguana? The reptile and then brain, as soon as she grabs the iguana, the voicemail plays where the date cancels on her. And I'm like, oh, it's kind of showing that she's going to be like, she's not a spinster, but it's like, you know, she's getting older. She's still single. Like, she can't get dates. The iguana's her baby. Like, it's indicating that she's a woman who may, like, not think she's going to have a child anytime
soon. She doesn't
have
children. Yeah. No, yeah. Yeah, it does. It suggests things around it.
Yeah, and it's a tiny little insignificant thing, but once you look at it, because like normally I'm just like, oh, the fucking iguana, but today I'm like, why iguana?
It feels more like an actually kind of lived life.
Yep.
No, I get what you're saying.
Oh, and then Matt, dude, I've quoted that phone call my whole life. I'm gonna open up your blouse one by
That's
one.
That's you, dude.
Dude, I've said that so many times, but like,
don't there make was, me bust you up, man.
There was a Cheech and Chong movie that had a similar thing, so we would always be like, first I'm going to take off your shoes.
Jorge, you're awful quiet over there. No, I'm good.
He's like, I like The Terminator, dude. It's a good movie.
I do.
It is.
Terminator 2 is better, though. Nah, I don't know.
Terminator 2 is too long for me. It's like over 2.5 hours.
I'm actually having watched Terminator 2 in the last couple of years for a rewatch. I do think 2 is superior to the first one.
It's been at least 15 years since I've seen the second one. And again, maybe I don't 20 sit years. Here
and just gush about James Cameron, dude. And I know Aliens isn't your thing inexplicably because I think maybe you watched it the wrong time or something. I don't know.
I really liked Alien.
I didn't do Aliens.
I think it's one of those things where it was just built up, and then by the time I watched it, I
didn't want to go into all this shit. I want to talk about. I don't want to just gush about James Cameron, but he did direct this, and he fucking knows how to make a sequel.
Yeah,
like Terminator 2. If you're going to make a sequel to Alien, like, what would you do, Matt? It's easy to say you'd do what he did now, but...
What would you do?
You'd come up with Space Marines and fucking... You need to come up
Hold up.
You need to come up with a reason for Ripley to go back, which is retarded.
Did she make it to Earth at the end of the first one, or did she just get launched out into space in a pod?
You don't even know. She got stuck in cryo sleep, and they found her. He comes up with the decision to have her found almost 70 years later. So when they find her, her daughter's dead.
Ah, yeah.
All these things are decisions. He's like, I'm gonna fucking throw all this new stuff at you. And then he introduces the Space Marines, and then they do the slow buildup, and then the first one has one alien. This has many aliens, and then it has a queen, and then, like, he's the king of the fucking fake-out climax, right? The studio...
Me too, dude.
The studio begged him to end this movie for budget reasons, when the truck fucking blows up, and the Terminator's burning in it. And then he's like, he pushed and said, no, he has to come out as the fucking skeleton and this and this. And they're like, we're going to have to do stop motion animation. We're going to have to do this. And he's like, yeah, I know it has to be this way. That's his first fake out ending. In Terminator 2, you got the T-1000 getting frozen. Right? And then he fucking says, hasta la vista, baby, and shoots him. And it scatters into all these pieces. Mm-hmm. The movie keeps going, though. And you're like, what's wrong? And then it starts melting back together. That's fucking fake out ending. In Aliens, they fucking nuke the site from orbit. All that huge climax with the alien queen. They're fucking in the space station. And there's this feeling like, why isn't this movie wrapping up? And Bishop gets fucking ripped in half. And then they have a whole other climax where she gets in a fucking robot and fights the queen. Like, he goes like ridiculous with his climaxes.
Yeah.
He just elevates everything. And then, so... That's why Terminator 2, I think, is ultimately, you know, but by the time he did Terminator 2, this movie was a $6 million budget movie. It came out and it stayed number one for 2 weeks against all odds. And then it made a shitload of money on home video. And by the time Terminator 2 came out in 1992, Terminator 2 was the biggest movie of that year.
Oh, I remember.
And it was R. It's a hard R sci-fi action film. And that's very rare, right?
We had tons of publicity behind it. I remember Taco Bell had the commemorative cups, and like every time you turned on TV, Subway was running cross promotions with Terminator.
And it's a sequel to a basically low budget sci-fi action movie that fucking became a world conquering franchise basically once people found out about it. But yeah, that's when he gets to just, he had done The Abyss by that point, and he's like, hey, I really want to push the fucking frontier with visual effects. And so he fucked with all the water effects and he introduced the liquid metal thing. Anyway, so because of the spectacle aspect. The spectacle ass. And then he's got, Sarah Connor starts as a waitress.
Yep.
She's like a waitress in this movie. And then by the end, she's like, you know, get on your feet, soldier, and that whole thing. And the transformation is abrupt, but it seems very natural.
Well, they kind of indicate that it's like instilled in her already. Like, you know, she's like, I don't know anything about that. Like, but she dresses his wound and he's like, hey, nice field dressing. And she's like, oh yeah, it's my first. So they're like indicating already that she's kind of just got like a knack for this whole survival thing. Like, even at the job as a waitress, it's like she's taking beating after beating. She's at a job that she fucking hates where people are disrespecting her and treating her like shit, and she still keeps coming back. She never gives up. And that's kind of just like another little
never give like, up.
Yeah. That was probably the weakest scene in the movie to me. And I know it has to be there, but just because it's dated in the restaurant.
Yeah.
Like, can I get that coffee, please? I'm just like, oh shit, this isn't how things are. Like, is it?
I mean, I guess it could be, though.
Probably was in the 80s.
It had the same thing as in Chopping Mall when George was sitting there asking for more butter. I mean,
the Chopping Mall's not good.
What? This fucking guy.
I was like, oh, dude, that's George.
Wouldn't you be the guy asking for more butter?
No, he looked like you.
What?
Yeah. He's like, waitress, more butter. I'm like, that's
fucked up, man. What the hell?
The timey-wimey stuff, right? I love the...
That's fucked. What's wrong with you?
We see a picture, the picture that he's talking about. More
butter? Which picture?
He talks about how he has a picture of her. It's like, you know, he probably jacked off to her, like, in between fighting off Terminator.
You know he fucking did.
Okay, wait. You know what they say?
That picture's just, like, covered in cum.
Well, and it shows it getting burned, right?
Yeah.
And then, anyway, he tells her about it, but then later on, we see the picture get taken, right? And that's fucking dope, because that's like, that's the timey-wiminess. That's the stuff Jorge likes right there, right?
The recursion.
He likes the threat of that kid getting beaten if she doesn't pay $5 for the photo.
Señora!
Yeah.
Chicle.
Like, if you don't pay for the photo, his father will beat him. It's like, that sounds like a you problem, little fucker.
This is a good hustle, kid.
But about four.
And he's like, you think it's a hustle? He'll beat me either way. He will kill me.
He's like, look at the whips on my back.
Do you not see I'm dying of hunger?
Do you not see I'm dying? That's wow. You can do that, cuz.
I can do that.
Yeah. Jorge Gonzalez.
Did you call me cuz right now?
Cuz.
You can do that, cuz.
Because. So let's get to the elephant in the room, though. The scene of the film. What? The Tiki Hotel.
Okay. What do you mean the Tiki Hotel? You keep saying that.
Jorge has an issue. And what is the Tiki Hotel?
The music.
What is the Tiki Hotel?
Scene. No. Not just the sex scene, dude. When the chase starts, that fucking music is unbelievable, dude.
That's Brad Fidel, dude. Don't fuck with him.
That shit is dope.
It's not dope, dude. It's fucking silly.
When they were having that car
chase. But I love it.
When they were having the car chase after Tech Noir, that music, never give up.
You're fucked on this one. It's not chopping ball music.
We've got to keep on moving.
In fact, never give up. The music sounds better now than it did, say, 10 years ago because it's so fucking synthed out.
It feels so video gamey. I was like, damn, this feels, because it feels like it's low budget music. It's like MIDI music, but it's like
so
techno, but it's dope.
Tech dope.
Brad Fidel also did the score for another James Cameron film, True Lies, which is great.
Oh, trash true. Lies.
Don't say that. You don't true need to say
trash.
That.
Trash.
It's better than
Mandy. You're right.
Big Trouble in Little China.
That's incorrect.
That'll get him.
Hold on, I'm trying to find this shit because it's fucking...
The Tiki Hotel, the sex scene, I think it's a good, like, it's the only rest in the film. It's the only, like, pause, like, a restful... It's the only break they get.
Why I don't like it, because it's such a stark change in tone.
It's the only break they get. That's fuck.
That's very Big Trouble in Little China. The crawling bass line
is dope as fuck.
That could be Big Trouble in Little China, except for the...
Dude, the dissonance? You're fucking out of your mind.
Dun, 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 dun. That's rad, dude.
Yeah.
You're that's like Unsolved Mysteries shit right there.
I don't know if you noticed, too, at the beginning of the movie, before the music, like, there's this whole audio thing where it has, like, little humming sound, like, and, like, there's, like, a whole audioscape thing. Did you notice?
No, I don't notice those things.
It's dope. It's really dope. And that, I agree with Matt, is fucking dope. Okay. Tiki Hotel. It's the only rest they get throughout the movie.
Well, they also get to hang out in that sewer for a little bit.
That's true.
That's the other break. You're right.
They have a cute little cuddle there.
He's never going to stop, is he? It's a bit like It Follows, too. It has that vibe where you're watching it. You're like, damn, they're just going to have to keep moving.
Yeah. Right?
Like, constantly.
Like, they're never going
to
give up.
You've got to keep on moving.
Never give up.
I can't say it enough.
There's, like, one person that's going to hear this and be like, oh, I remember that song. Everybody else is going to be like, what the fuck?
No, I think most people remember it.
I don't know. Did that get out of San Diego?
I don't know.
Yeah. I wonder if that shit's on Spotify.
So let's take this apart. It shows her boobs.
We see, do you think those are those boobs? Actually her boobs, or do you think that was a body double?
Probably a body double.
I kept trying to look, but you could never see a clear shot of her face and nipple in the same picture.
But
I'm doing the science for you guys.
What? No, but I actually think it's a good sex scene, and it like makes sense where it is, and you don't like the music there.
Well, no. The music during the sex scene, I'm okay with.
Oh, see? You mean this is fine.
It's a fucking sex... No. When it goes... Ba 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 ba
ba ba ba ba. Later on goes the fucking... Dun, dun, dun. Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, I like this.
You thought Brad Fidel only had synth licks for you.
Those are her tits. Yeah?
Yeah, and you know who married her? James Cameron, JC.
Listening
turn to that shit off.
That's not the real version, though.
That's
yes, it is.
No, it's not.
You can right tell. There. That's the same album.
Nope.
Bro. Oh, wait.
Nope. It's this one? Not it. That's the one. Brother, I know, dude. You cannot fuck me on this, dude.
Yeah, he knows that fucking song.
No longer has a place.
Yeah. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Damn, dog. I'm gonna like that. I'm gonna heart
this. And fighting.
I haven't heard that song in so long.
No longer has a place.
I'm amazed he remembers the words.
We've got no time to waste.
Damn.
Ba-da-bop, ba-da-bop.
So they should have played that song in the credits.
Yeah.
Of this movie.
Hell no, yeah, no, they should have.
Right after the sex scene, fucking. Bop. Instead of.
Sarah's trying to wake up Reese, and she's like, never give up.
So the beginning parts of this film, when he's killing the Sarah Connors, right?
Uh-huh.
That shit too, right? Like he's looking
hell
up.
Hell yeah.
He's looking up the Sarah Connors in a phone book and just killing them. That is so slashery.
Like that whole scene when he pulls up the car and he rolls over that kid's little truck, like, that's and just dope. The like, the perspective where it looks like that's a large semi until it gets run over in that split second,
yeah.
And she just opens the door and he's like Sarah Connor and he kicks open the door and just shoots her. Love it. The dumb look
love
on
it.
The
love
dumb
it.
Look love on it. Linda Hamilton's face when he fucking pulls out the gun at the nightclub. Love it.
Yeah.
Her fucking
yeah.
Brunette roommate dancing around on her skimpy underwear. Love it.
Love it.
Love it. Great ass.
Nice.
Yeah.
So we dig that. What else we dig here? We dig Kyle Reese. We dig Michael Biehn's committed performance. We dig his Nikes and the little yep. Velcro.
I dig that he looks like Solid Snake, and I think they took that directly from Terminator.
Dude, well, look.
There was a scene like
stylistically and like the feel of the thing. Yeah.
Well, there was a scene where it was like when he's in the future and then that dude comes in and he's actually a Terminator. He starts blasting everybody. There's a scene right in there where he like is looking at the photo. And I think that is what they took for the cover of Metal Gear. The 1987 Nintendo game.
That's.
But
Jorge that's, doesn't like those kind of theories.
But
I like it.
Look, hold on,
you're giving JC more
hold on,
credit.
No. Hold
that's
on.
Called, I say cultural
I'm
osmosis.
I'm gonna show you. Hold on.
They call that cultural that's, osmosis.
That's a
Metal Gear. I'm gonna show you. Look, hold on. Just not Metal Gear Solid, but the cover of Metal Gear from 1987.
Yep, he's right. He's right.
Look,
I've seen this before. He's right.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Jorge.
Told
watch,
you.
This, watch this shit. Watch.
Look at this.
It's too much.
Too much.
And also, what was influencing those
tell,
video
tell
games?
Me that's not fucking Kyle Reese from that scene.
Oh, no, it's definitely him.
Yeah.
It's definitely him.
Well, that's what was influencing these games.
Yeah, well, of course.
That's like Contra. Was that influenced by the movies?
But I disregard him thinking he came up with that on his own.
Oh, no.
That's what I'm scoffing at.
Yeah, you know, I've seen, like, but...
I love it.
And then, like, they said that...
I just love it.
Well, that's like the Contra being Sylvester Stallone and fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Like, yeah,
like
but you
Predator
know
what, and Rambo.
Yeah.
But you know what, but you know what the funny thing
I
is,
love
dude?
It.
I thought of that myself.
But I thought then, of that when I was five.
But then Solid Snake became another character created by a different JC,
and Metroid
dude.
Is influenced by Alien.
No!
Yeah.
Then he became Snake Plissken, dude.
I thought of that one.
From
I was...
John Carpenter, a different JC.
Whoa. There's only one JC.
Yeah, John Carpenter.
No.
It's not him.
Yeah.
It's not him.
John Carpenter movies, toe-to-toe James Cameron movie, all day.
Look, Matt.
James
I
Cameron
know,
movie.
I know it's a horror show, and I know it's not cool because, look, do you remember John Carpenter's last movie, by the way?
What was his last one? Ghost of Mars?
No, dude. It had fucking... it was terrible. Okay?
He's what about James Cameron's last film? How'd that do?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
How'd that do, though?
I haven't seen it.
No, how'd it do, though? Culturally?
Because it did well, you have to make fun of it now. You forgot.
How'd it do, though?
No, I don't know. I just haven't seen
any
it.
Any movie that makes $2 billion is automatically not good with the horror community.
Did it make $2 billion fucking dollars?
I don't know. Did it?
In 6 weeks?
In 6 fucking weeks?
After people talk about it for 30 years?
One of the only movies that has like gone up week to week ever?
Hey, wait, check it out. Okay, there are only 6 movies that have grossed over $2 billion. 3 of them are directed and written by the same guy. That's fucked.
Eli Roth?
So he clearly has his finger on something here, regardless.
It's prostate.
And it's like, oh, because it made money? No, because it made that much. We're not, yeah. They're not the Transformers movies here. It's not something people will make a lot of money and then forget in 10 years. Like, this is
it's JC. What are they, the first two JC, Avatars and Titanic?
First two Avatars and Titanic. And look, my favorite movies are him. Like, I love when James Cameron was going hard R. Hard R James Cameron is fucking like, I don't know what's better, honestly.
What are the other three that have made over $2 billion?
Avatar, Titanic, and now Avatar 2.
Well, no, you said there were 6 movies total.
Oh, Infinity War, Endgame. And keep in mind, that's because they had 20 other movies.
That's a Marvel movie?
They're Avengers movies. They're the end of, after 20 movies building them up, they got over $2 billion.
There's three Marvel movies that have it?
And then the other one is... what's the other one? I'm missing one.
Is it a Star Wars movie?
Yes, Star Wars Force Awakens.
So, which one was that one?
And that was part 7 that came out. It was the sequel to Return of the Jedi. Came out in 2015. And that's because we were waiting for a sequel from Return of the Jedi since 1983. So this motherfucker comes out with original stuff... And fucking, it's like, oh, Star Wars, Marvel, cool. Yeah, fuck that. Check this out. This is an original IP with blue people. People don't even like the movie, but it doesn't matter. Because I'm showing them something they've never seen before.
The one true JC.
I somehow watched the entire thing in it was either a dentist's office or a doctor's office once. And it seemed cool. I watched most of it.
Well, yeah, there's going to be a lot of people. It's very easy to talk shit about things.
It's definitely not something to watch on a 13-inch monitor in a doctor's office.
Well, no, I have to defend him all the time, though, because people don't, you know. The horror community doesn't like Titanic, generally speaking.
I wouldn't imagine so.
But let us remember JC did Terminator 1 and 2. When I say he did them, he created Terminator.
Yeah.
And fucking did a impossible sequel to Alien, which could be career suicide for anybody. If it was shit. So, and that Matt, inexplicably. I'm sorry, dude. I think we need to sit with you and watch the movie.
That shit is egregious.
Maybe dude. After we sit and watch Boarding House.
That's fine.
I've already watched Boarding House. You're up.
You're the one.
You're the one.
We've watched Boarding House. He has.
Yeah, he'll love it, though. That's the thing.
I know.
Of course I will. What's it? What? Oh, blah, blah.
Oh, Debbie,
no.
What's the thing? Oh, blah, blah, blah.
I already like oh, blah, blah, blah.
It's so wild. I keep wanting to watch that movie.
Oh, blah, blah, blah. I love that movie.
But, like, I don't want to watch that movie until I watch it with you guys because I don't want to, like, have the magic ruined before rewatching it.
What are we watching next week? Is it Infinity Pool? Infinity War? I'm down.
Brandon Cronenberg, Mia Goth, Alexander Skarsgård, and... The reviews say stuff like, welcome to the White Lotus on bad acid.
Who's going
to
play Tony Stark in this movie, dude?
And what's after Infinity Pool?
You're going to go to Japan, and we're going to come back and do Japan month. So we need to get our slate going. And I think we should do some Patreon anime horror movies.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's the Who Goes Here podcast for Terminator and episode 379.
And I can't believe you liked M3GAN better than Terminator, Matt.
You know, it happens, man.
You're just more of a comedy type guy.
Yeah. And if you've also got great taste, our friends in the Writhers have a new song coming out called Pit Dunce on February 10th. So go check that out. They're really nice dudes and supporters of the show. Two of them are Patreon members.
You know what? Since you're doing that. Yeah, they are nice dudes. And there's another nice dude in Germany, Hans.
You fucking just want to suck that dude's dick
bad. I don't want to suck his dick. That's my comeback.
There you go, Hans.
You know what? I don't. I got you, dude.
You know what?
That's you, dude.
No.
Idiot. No. I don't want to suck his dick. He might want to suck my dick. Either way, it's cool. I'm safe. He's in Germany.
You get 69.
I'm over here.
Even if you did want to suck his dick, there's no way he's going to be here.
Also, shout out to our trans psychedelic DJ friend.
DJ Ace Ventura?
Ace Ventura. He last time I spoke with that gentleman, he was in Canada. He's like, cheers from Canada. Cheers from Dubai. Cheers from the guy I fucking is living the life. I have to say, it must be nice.
So he manages to send you all of these cheers, and yet he has not put together one theme song for us.
Well, did we ask him?
We haven't.
It's just implied that he should do so.
I'm just flattered this dude is like, you know, jet setting. Fucking all these people are tripped out, tripping balls constantly, and he's like in between these things. He's like, I need to listen to Who Goes Their podcast.
I love that shit. Like, just hearing about the dumb times people listen to us. Like, when Jake talks about, like, he's at work and we say something stupid, he laughs out. Like, what was the thing that he said? Rhett said, oh, this is a great companion piece to Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Dude, it's
Killer
true.
Condom.
I would totally do double feature of Killer Condom and Roger Rabbit.
I started thinking about it. I'm like, fuck, Rhett's right. It really is.
Dicktown instead of Toontown.
Yeah.
Like
Dicktown.
Yeah, Eddie Valiant and that fucking guy, like,
Dongtown.
Macaroni.
Yeah, Detective Macaroni. Good shit.
Well, anyways, this is Jorge signing the fuck out.
This is Maddie Ding Dong.
And this is Rhett.
And we've hate your fucking guts.
Yeah, we do hate
we've
your
hate
fucking
your
guts.
Fucking guts.
We have that.
We've had your fucking guts.
Yeah.
Bye, Sophia.
Bye, Sophia. And if you've made it this far, that means you never gave up.
Bop, 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 bop.
You've got to keep on moving.
Never give up.
Bop, 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 bop.
That's good.
Sophia loves the Terminator, by the way.
I thought you were going to say Sophia loves common sense.
No, she doesn't.
I'm not going to worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever going to be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.